نبي ومصطفى. أما بعد، حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters with a new session. That is conducted today from the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not as usual from Jeddah, the city where I live, and this is an exemption for yesterday and today. Today we are going to continue the merits of fasting and Ramadan. From these myths that fasting will teach the person how to cut all the relations or all hopes with the creation and have it just with Allah Ta'ala. As in the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ta'isa 'abd ad-dinar, ta'isa 'abd ad-dirham, ta'isa wa idha shika falan taqash. The be sad the slave of dinar, coin from gold. Be sad the slave of dirham, the coin from silver. Ta'isa wa intakas, be sad and be always sad. وَإِذَا شِيكَ فَلَنْ تَقَشْ. And whenever a thorn sticks in his feet, in his foot, he would not be able to remove it. And this was a dua against the one who have no sincerity and certainty with Allah Ta'ala. So fasting is the best way of exercising the sincerity. The best way to exercise sincerity is through fasting. And that's why Dawood alayhi salam, the Prophet David alayhi salam, used to worship one day and break another. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast so many days. As Aisha said that he used to fast till we say that he never break fast. Never break fast. And he used to fast Mondays and Thursdays, the 3 days in the middle of the month. He used to fast Saturdays and Sundays. He used to fast 6 days after Ramadan. He used to fast the first 9 days of the Hijjah. He used to fast Muharram. He used to fast the month of Sha'ban and the like. And he encouraged his ummah to fast. As we mentioned yesterday, the ahadith of fasting and the reward of it. And that is itself is a motive to for one to fast. The merit number 21 is that fasting is one way of thankfulness or thanking Allah Ta'ala for all the merits and great and for all the grace that He subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon us. As Al-Qasqalani said when he was talking about the reasons why fasting is made obligatory and the merits of fasting, he said, تَكْثِيرُهُ لِشُكْرِ النِّعَمْ. So you do much of fasting as a way of thanking your Lord. وَاَعْتِرَابُهُ بِمَا سَبَقَ لَهُ مِنْ نِعْمَةِ الشِّبَعِ. And this itself, when you are fasting, this itself is a submission and admission or admitting of the grace of Allah that He bestows on us of eating when we are hungry, drinking when we are thirsty. So we do fast as an admission that He, Allah Ta'ala, is the one who provides us these grace and merits. Verse number 22 is that fasting is the motive for every other good deed. For every other good deed. As Al-Qasqalani said in the merits of fasting, this fasting will make one stop thinking of that which can have a person drawn into the sin because of hungerness. Because of that, the hungerness controls the soul, extending to the unlawful things, from the desire of eating, desire of drinking, desire of sexual. While when being full, one think of all these things. And fasting itself is a motive for doing good deeds. And when the stomach is empty, the whole body gets weak. And as we said before, that the Prophet ﷺ said that the shaitan runs in. So when you fast, you make veins smaller and tighter and more tight because no enough blood is running. And by that, you made the ways where shaitan can run fast to your brain and control for doing the sin. You make it narrow so the shaitan cannot run them. The merit number 23 is to increase the sadaqah, the charity the option of charity and doing good to those needy. As Al-Izz ibn Abd al-Salam said in his book Madarik al-Maram fi Masalik al-Siyam, page 77-78, وَأَمَّا تَكْثِيرُ الصَّدَقَاتِ, I'm increasing the amount of sadaqah during the time of fasting. فَلِأَنَّ الصَّائِمَ إِذَا جَاعَ تَذَكَّرَ مَا عِنْدَهُ مِنَ الْجُوعِ. It is because when the person who's fasting feels hungry, فَيَحُثُ ذَلِكَ عَلَى إِطْعَامِ الْجَائِعِ, would motive him to feed the one who is really hungry. As well as Al-Qasqalani in his book Fawaid al-Siyam, page 25, said إعانته على بذل الصدقات. Fasting will help one who is fasting to give صدقات, optional charity. فإن الصائم يجوع فيعرف قدر ألم الجوع. Because the one who is fasting feels hungry, and then he will feel and know the pain that comes out of hungerness. فيحرّبه ذلك على حرصه في الإحسان إلى الجياع. And that will encourage him and motivate him to feed and do good to those real hungry ones. And as Ahmed Shawqi, the Amir of the poetry, he said, الصوم حرمان المشروع. Fasting is a legitimate prevention. وتأديب بالجوع, and it is treating by hunger. وخشوع لله وخضوع, and it is tranquility for Allah and humiliation. لكل فريضة حكمة, for every obligatory worship there is a wisdom. وهذا الحكم ظاهره العذاب وباطنه الرحمة. And this ruling of fasting, the apparent vision of it is punishment, but the hidden vision of it or meaning of it is mercy. يستثير الشفقة, so he encourages for help of others. ويحض على الصدقة, and motives for giving charities to the end of what he said, رحمه الله. And the merit number 24 is رقة القلب وصيانة الجوارح, softness of the heart and protection and maintaining the body, limbs and parts. Doesn't the hadith reported by Imam Muslim in his Sahih and his Muslim on the spirit of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, يدخل الجنة أقوام أفئدتهم مثل أفئدة الطير. There will be some people who enter the Jannah that their hearts are as the hearts of the birds. It means soft. And the note number 25 is that the fasting is the make of the recovery of all the other deeds of worship whenever there is shortness in it or defect. As in many verses of the Quran, like Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 196, Allah Ta'ala there mentioned fasting is the recovery of any mistake that the person do during the Hajj. As well as in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 95, Allah Ta'ala mentioned that if a person in Ihram hunts an animal that lives in the land, not in the sea, then he would, one of the choices that he make is fasting. And the like in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 92, when a person kills a Muslim, when a Muslim kills a Muslim by mistake, so he would fast 2 months. And also in Surah Al-Mujadila, Ayah 3-4, when the person name his wife as his mother or aunt or daughter or sister, he cannot return back to her as a husband until he fasts 2 months in row. So these are the merits of fasting. And from the fruits of fasting is that it is good help to the body to get rid of many of the poisonous that is stored in it that may harm it. And it also perfects the intelligence and memory. And strength the understanding. And makes the body limbs move very easily and softly. It is also a victorious against the shaitan and the helpers and followers of shaitan. Softness of the heart and richness of tears. It is a cause of acceptance of subjugation. It is a happiness for the person who is fasting in the day of resurrection, as well as it is happiness for him when he come to the time of sunset. It is a protection for all the body limbs from extending to the haram. It is a cause of Allah's pleasure, and it is a cause of entering the Jannah from a certain gate that no one will enter from it except those who used to fast. So these are of today about the merits of fasting and the merits of Ramadan, as we all know that it is the month in which Quran was descended. Ramadan الذي أنزل في القرآن as in Surah Al-Baqarah and as in Surah Al-Dukhan حامين والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منزلين إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا منزلين and as in Surah Al-Qadr إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. So all these are evidences and proofs that the month of Ramadan is the month of the Quran, and that's why it is blessed. That's why when Allah's speech was descended in it, so Allah Ta'ala gave it more rights than any other month. And as we know that there is no month that the people can pray the night prayers together in congregation like that in Ramadan. It is not permissible, only in Ramadan, to do it as continuous like that. It's only in Ramadan. It is the month when people have the same feeling during the day and night. The rich and the poor, and everyone stands before Allah at night to worship, to pray behind the Imam. So it is the month of emotions, tears, remembrance, repentance, charity, recitation of Quran, the month of i'tikaf. This is the month of Ramadan. May Allah Ta'ala extend our lives to reach it and do good in it. Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. And now the time for you to ask whatever question you have. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Now, I'm Speedy Gonzalez. Go ahead. Dear Sheikh, I know a sister who wants to do Hajj. But she is now like 1 month pregnant, and people telling her that she should not go because it is not good. But she said she is able to go. Would you please tell her and her family that she should not take this as a excuse? Well, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced to the people that he is going to do Hajj, people came from all around the province, the Arabian Peninsula, to go for Hajj with him. And one of them was Asma bint Umays, the wife of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, who was a resident of Medina, and they went together with the Prophet for Hajj. So when they reached the prescribed station, the Miqat, which is only about 22 kilometers away from the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on the way to Mecca, there where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stopped to pray, as Jibreel told him that Allah Ta'ala is commanding him to pray in this valley called the Valley of Al-Aqiq, in the place called Al-Hulayfa. There Asma bint Umays gave birth of her first baby from Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and that was Muhammad ibn Abi Bakr. So Asma bint Umays knew very well that she's going to deliver a baby in this journey. If it is not in the river, it might be and somewhere on the way, which took from them 8 days travel. And as you know, that it is a very hard journey, but she decided to go, and it is the first chance for her to do Hajj like that. So she did. She did the Hajj with Rasulullah, with the company of her husband, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. When she was at the Al-Hulayfa, she gave birth. She delivered the baby. She did not say, this is an excuse, I'm tired, I'm bleeding, and return back. But she sent to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what should I do now? He Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him to take shower and to put a burial or a preventer or bombers to stop the blood. I continue the journey of Hajj. Subhanallah. She did not say, okay, it's a good chance now for me to go back. But she decided to do the Hajj. So my advice to the sister is to go ahead and do the Hajj. And inshallah there is no harm on her. Today she is traveling by plane. She is taken from the airport to Mecca or Medina or Mina by a coach, and there she is in a tent where AC, food, everything. Alhamdulillah, yani, things are easy these days. Wallahu a'lam. Speedy Gonzalez continues saying, also, can you tell me a bit about the Egyptian Sheikh Abdul Hadi Abdul Hamid Kishk? Also, is it allowed for us to criticize scholars because of the mistakes like they do with Sheikh Qardawi? In some Salafi sites they do that a lot. Is it allowed for us, for people like me, to do that? Well, first of all, Abd al-Hamid, rahimahullah, as Imam Albani said, he wasn't somebody, he was, mashallah, very good speaker, but he did not used to choose the proper speech that benefit the people. Second, he did not used to choose the hadith, the sahih from the da'if. He used to just bring anything. In regard to criticism, I said before, and I say today, and I will continue to say tomorrow till I die, I say criticism is not for anyone. It is only for the scholars. But if I deliver the fatwa of a scholar against another scholar, I am not the one who is criticizing. I am only conveying this to you. So this should not be taken against this brother or this website, because they are bringing the fatwa of the ulama criticize Qaradawi or whomsoever else. And we should not be muta'assibin, extremist to the individuals, namely like for example Kishk or Qaradawi or anybody. If there is a mistake, we should accept that this is a mistake. And if you want to do any good to this person, we should go to him and advise him of this mistake. If he returns and corrects himself, that is great. If he doesn't, then we know that this person is a person of desire. That is very simple. But to keep the person who is mistaking or wrong or doing whatever he likes to do without correcting his mistakes, without warning people from his mistakes, that is, to me, more wrong against Islam. Wallahu a'lam. Aisha Kabir says, yes, Sheikh, during Ramadan, our masjid prays witr in the salah. They do dua every day. Is this sunnah? If yes, how do we hold our hands and do we say ameen loud to everything the imam is asking in that dua? If not sunnah, what should one do if they are praying behind this imam, etc. Jazakumullah khair. Well, it is from the sunnah. It is from the sunnah to say it every day, because the Prophet ﷺ taught Al-Hasan ibn Ali that he told him, when you pray the witr, you say, and he taught him the dua. And this did not mean that it is particular for that dua. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught him one dua. But there are other dua. If you make any dua from the sunnah, then that is from the sunnah, as Imam Ibn Baz, Uthaymeen, Fawzan, Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, and many others say. They say that it is from the sunnah, as long as you are using dua which is authentic in the from the sunnah. Wallahu a'lam. And the hands position is to be raised when seeking dua. Wallahu a'lam. Ibrahim, go ahead.
Yeah.
when is a person seen as a traveler? There are many different views on this, and we don't know which one to follow. Well, there are different opinions with the scholars. Some of them say that it is uh, 83 kilometers, based on the hadith of the mahram for a woman in trouble of a day and night walking, and they measured this distance and they found that there is about 83 kilometers. But Sheikh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah says that there is no limited distance, and he refers that to the earth of the people of that area, what they yani say, what they understand about it. If they consider that this is a travel, then regardless the distance, then it is a travel. If they consider that it is not travel, then it is not travel. Wallahu a'lam. نعم أم رياض. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. Is it permissible for a woman to have a tummy tuck due to excess skin following weight loss and childbirth? What is the tummy tuck? I do not know what is the tummy tuck. It is an operation to remove unwanted skin. Well, if it is to be done by a female doctor, then this is no problem, because this is not a change to what Allah created. This is a correction of what has been yani built after war. But if it is a man, no, this is not an emergency, so you go to a man with a surgery to do it. Wallahu a'lam. Aisha Kabu says, yesterday class you mentioned merit 16, but I do not understand. Is the merit that they pious make dua for the one who is fasting? No, number 16 was that fasting is a sign for pious people. A sign for pious people. And it means, as we said yesterday, that these pious people, whom their sign is fasting, are making dua for their people, that Allah preserve them and protect them. نعم وإياكم. Okay, as long as there are no more questions, we're going to end up our session today. Inshallah ta'ala, I will see you on Friday afternoon with the khutbah translation. And after that, we're going to have a link with the brothers from Singapore. And that will be, inshallah, 5:30 Saudi time. And then we're going to have another link with the brothers in Trinidad. This would be at 11:30 p.m. like our time of regular deaths. Inshallah ta'ala, all would be about Ramadan. One would be about the Hadi, the way of the Salaf in Ramadan, and the other, what should the Muslim do during the month of Ramadan. Wallahu a'lam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.